Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga, here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
High noon, Jones and Keith, WEEI. It's a Wednesday, which means it is time for Pure Hoops with Terp. Justin Turpin, WEEI, WEEI.com. What's going on, Turp?
What's up? Are they 2-0 with you in the house this year?
Yes, 2-0.
Oh, they need Jones and more games.
A spanking of the Grizzlies.
Oh, beat the Grizz.
And then last night it wasn't looking good early.
No.
But I was able to carry him to a win late.
2-0.
By being in the house. Yeah.
Really good.
Cashing some bets.
When are you going again? When's your next
good question.
Scheduled game?
I don't know, TBD.
Okay. 2-0 against a spread as well with you in the house, I believe.
Yeah, I think by tip last night, the Celtics were underdog. When we left yesterday,
one
they were
and a half,
favored,
right?
But I think they were underdogs by tip time.
That was another game where I was kind of shocked how close the number was. The Detroit game, we were talking about that last week, and they covered that. Like, they won some quality games.
Maybe Vegas is seeing something, because we said for that Detroit game, we're like, what does Vegas know about this line? This is a weird line.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's just as simple as they see them playing better basketball, Terp, because they have now won, as you just said, 4 out of their last 5. Their 4 wins are over 4 of the top 6 teams in the East. Orlando, Detroit, Cleveland, New York. Now, they mixed in a loss at Minnesota, but
pretty good game, too.
No, it was. Yeah. So, I mean, they are playing better. Maybe it's as simple as that.
Yeah, and if you look out even further than that, in their last 15, they're 9-6, 7-3 in their last 10, and like you said, 4-1 in their last 5. And to me, it's just they're bringing that edge and they're bringing that swagger that they talked about that they needed to bring. Like, obviously, the roster isn't as talented as it used to be, but the way that they're playing each and every night, just giving it maximum effort, bringing that intensity, it's tough for opposing teams to overcome that. And I think a lot of that comes down to the mindset and to the culture that Joe Mazzulla has established here and that the players are really upholding, because it's just been incredible what they've been able to do.
Well, I'll go back to the loss to Brooklyn. So they had the back-to-back, the home-and-home. So they lose to Brooklyn, and they were 500 at that point. And you're like, Brooklyn?
No, and that loss.
Like, that roster's so bad.
That loss was, it was even over.
Yeah, right. And it wasn't like a back-to-back. It just happened to be the same opponent in 2 straight games.
And the loss was like overshadowing some of the wins early in this streak, too. I'm like, that was such a bad loss to such a bad team.
Yeah, so that was... I feel like the team could have gone one of two ways. I mean, it's only 16 games in, but they were 500, so they're literally treading water. And that's one where you're like, all right, if this is going to be a playoff team, specifically a top six, like a real playoff team, you can't drop games to the dregs of the league. But then they followed that up with this great five-game stretch. I would have been happy with, like, 2-3 even, just because you're playing really, really good teams, and they're 4-1. They got, what, Washington tomorrow, who's another one of these awful teams. So they could keep this thing going. And they've even had injuries during this time, too. And so, I don't know, maybe it is figuring out the roles of some of these guys. You know, for a handful of them, they were used to having Tatum on the floor. He's not. And then for another bunch of them, they just weren't even on the Celtics before. So maybe they're all just kind of finally figuring out how to all fit together.
And when we talked last week, we talked about it was kind of too early to decide what this team was and that this upcoming stretch was really going to define it. And, I mean, you just have to be happy with what you've gotten from this team so far. Even last night, for example, guys like Hugo Gonzalez, he changed the game in the second quarter and what he was able to do to Karl-Anthony Towns, who was feasting on them in the first quarter. Josh Minot hit a big three in the fourth quarter, and he's been very consistent from three this year. It's guys that you were hoping, Jordan Walsh in the fourth quarter, those putbacks and the defense he provided, like the guys that you were hoping would take the leaps are taking the leaps, and they're having success in doing that. So I understand, like, people wanted to tank. People were like, oh, it's better. The return on investment's better for this team to tank. But I think with what you're having now with this team, these guys emerging, the Jordan Walshes, the Namish Keitas, the Josh Minots, these guys looking like they can contribute, looking like future pieces, you kind of take that, right?
Okay, well, but yeah, but I'm happy you said it the way you said it. They all contribute, and they all look like future pieces. What are they? I mean, they're probably all
20 games in, right? We don't know.
Well, we don't, but they're probably all bench pieces, is what I would say, on like a good championship-caliber team with Tatum back.
I don't know about Keita, though.
Keita's like Luke Kornet-ish. Right?
Yeah, but he got $40 million across 3 years.
No, but I'm saying
yeah, he might be a starter.
That's a bench big.
I think he could be a starter.
I think Keita's a starter.
I think Keita can be a starter. Okay. I do agree where Jordan Walsh in a championship team, I don't think he's in the starting lineup. Same thing with Josh Minot.
Walsh and Minot and Gonzalez, they're all young. And I'll give this to you. Last night, Keith, I don't know if you could tell this on TV. I was in the building.
No, it was hard to see, but you could really tell in the building.
Yeah. Nope, I did not wear my Abu Dhabi shirt. I did take it home with me. I didn't put it on.
Nice.
Yet. But you could see when Gonzalez came in. And I'll credit Mazzulla on this. Mazzulla kind of spun the dial because I don't think he quite has that spot figured out. They have four starters right now. They know what they're going to do. It's Brown, it's White, it's Pritchard, it's Keita. Those guys are going to start. Keita did not have a great night early on Towns. And so they're kind of spinning the dial, right? Walsh got the start, didn't go great. Minot got some minutes. They went to Hugo. And he did change the game defensively on Towns, who was just feasting on Keita and Jaylen Brown. So I think last night was a good look, and I think the last couple of weeks reflect well on Mazzulla as well. I think that is coaching. That's not paint by numbers, huck up threes. He went through a few different things last night, and ultimately he found something by going to Gonzalez. That's good coaching.
Even go back to Xavier Tillman against the Cavs. He was out of the rotation, wasn't playing at all.
Well, that night, who was hurt for that game?
Keita and White. They were
right,
both
they were down a couple of games.
And they went in and started Tillman, and no one expected that, right? People thought maybe they go with the small ball, start Josh Minot in there with Jordan Walsh, maybe start Garza, which we've seen them do. And they went with Xavier Tillman, and it worked. So I give Joe Mazzulla a lot of credit because this team, like I said earlier, is really they're living up to the standard that he holds them to. And then he's clicking all the right buttons for this team. Like, if I know they're 12-9, it's like you're not going to throw a parade over a team that's three games over 500, 21 games into the season, but or 22 games into the season, rather. But this is a lot better than a lot of people would have expected, especially given the schedule at the beginning of the year. I mean, and they're beating quality teams. They have 7 wins against teams 500 or better. That's the second most in the NBA behind the Detroit Pistons, who have 8. They're tied with the Magic, the reigning champion Oklahoma City Thunder, and the Denver Nuggets. That's a good ball club.
They have
been better than people expected, and they deserve a lot of credit for that. And Joe's at the top of that.
I hate to do it, but you also deserve some credit because there's like 2 weeks ago talking about Jaylen Brown playing like an all NBA player, and I was like, I don't know, because like you kind of need the wins to sort of. He was scoring points, but they were losing, and they were losing to some bad teams. I mean, this stretch that he's on now is as good as we've ever seen, right, from Jaylen Brown. Now, I know it's very different. He's played almost his entire career with Tatum or even other, you know, guys that can score. You look out there now, like, yeah, he's going to need to score 30 or 40 on certain nights, but he has. He's been pretty consistent, and he's a guy that's not afraid to go to the basket. He's a guy that's not afraid to shoot twos, right? He's not afraid to do that, but he's been great over the last couple of weeks.
Just night in and night out, he's given them a chance to win. He's averaging 29-6-4. The only other players averaging that stat line are Giannis, Luka Doncic, and Nikola Jokic. Sounds like an all-NBA player.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, that's pretty
solid.
That's
pretty good.
Two MVP, three MVP candidates.
All those guys are going to be in the playoffs. So, like, if the Celtics sink back down and they miss the postseason, that is a big difference between him and those other guys. So, look, now that they're in playoff position, he's playing well. I do think you're onto something, Terp. And maybe it's just they started slow. Mm-hmm. They were missing Tatum. Brown had to find his role. Mazzulla had to find out what he had on the roster. And they're starting to get their footing. And maybe it's just as simple as that. But I do think they have to be a playoff team for Brown to really be an all-NBA player.
And two quick thoughts. One on the playoff team thing. This conversation changes with one injury, right? Like that we're still like there's a long season to go, and we still, as much as we're praising the depth, like these guys have contributed in the roles they have been in. If everyone is elevated again, we're talking a lot differently about this team. So yes, we got to kind of pump the brakes in that sense. But I mean, night in, night out, he's given them what they want. And the best thing about what we've seen from Jaylen Brown, it's not the scoring. Everyone knew he can score. I mean, the 40 points in two of the last three games is great. But how he's creating for others, and especially in that Cleveland game, like how he was deferring in the fourth quarter, even last night, just deferring, passing out to Jordan Walsh, trusting guys like Josh Minot. Like, that's going to go a long way when Jason Tatum is back, because it kind of takes off him a little bit. Now that Jaylen Brown's been forced into that role where he's reading the defenses, he's the number one guy. When he comes back, that's only going to make him better. So, I mean, this has just been a great year for him. I mean, the development has been there. There was a lot of questions going in, a lot of talk about whether or not he can be a true number one, and I think he's answered that pretty resoundingly.
What have you seen from Peyton Pritchard? I think the conversation about him coming off the bench or starting, like, that's pretty much over. Like, he's been out there. He had the monster game a couple nights ago, almost a career high, 42 points. He's still shooting 33% from three, where he's been pretty consistently a 40% three-point shooter. Is that just the types of shots he's taking, or is it like just not a great shooting year for him? Is there anything you see in his
more game? Attention from defense?
I think it's
too.
Because it's about the same number of shots as it was last year. It's just, I'm sure with the guys around him, they're not quite as wide open.
Yeah, we've talked about it with him and Derek White.
Right.
Like, a lot of their shots are now pull-ups as opposed to catch and shoot threes, and those are a much more high-efficient shot. And that's kind of the result of being a one or a two when you're on the floor sometimes when the lineup's with Jaylen Brown's not out there. So I think some of it is kind of balancing that new role. But to Pritchard's credit, like, he's, as a point guard, has done a terrific job just running the offense. His assist-to-turnover ratio is incredible, one of the tops in the NBA. So as a point guard, he's been great. But with both him and Derek White, they need the scoring, right? Like, you can't expect Jaylen Brown to go out and score 40 points every night.
There are some lineups. Like, Brown was in early foul trouble last night. And some of the lineups, you just need guys who can put the ball in the basket. Yeah. And it's like, some of these lineups are, I'm using as Kata and White and Pritchard. And
Simons.
Yeah.
Maybe one with Shireman last night.
Yeah. Oh, no. Maybe that's what it was. Early. Yeah, and you're looking at it going, who the hell is going to score?
Where are they going to get some buckets?
And it really does have to be those two or Simons. And yeah, it's basketball is about more than just putting the ball in the basket. But when Brown's off the floor and without Tatum this year, they do need those guys to do that. I'm with you on that.
And you look at the Anthony Simons games recently. You look at like 12 points last night. He shot 5 of 9. Not crazy. But he gave them what they needed in the first half and really kind of helped steady them out in the first half. And he did that against Cleveland as well. So I think he is getting a little bit more comfortable in his role, especially in the first half. He's been great coming in and just being aggressive right away, giving them the scoring they need. But I think once he continues to get more acclimated, and he's kind of talked about it, he's growing more comfortable. Joe Mazzulla talked about it last week where he sees him getting more comfortable in the role. Like, you go from being a primary option to being the sixth man on a team that was kind of figuring itself out. You're not necessarily the primary ball handler all the time anymore. So it was an adjustment, and I think he did deserve some patience and some grace in that process. And when he starts to click a little bit more, I think it's going to do wonders for this offense.
What are the chances, though, that let's say he does kind of figure it out, and then 2 months from now they trade him?
I mean, still high. Pretty high. Yeah. Still high. Pretty high. Yeah. I think if you're going to circle any name on this roster that could go at the deadline, I think it consensusly would be.
Now, if they're a top six seed and they trade Simons, and let's say he's playing well, right? Like, you know, occasional 20-point game, but just like consistently double figures off the bench, and he's like the team's third leading scorer, or I guess fourth leading scorer, and they trade him for, you know, an expiring deal or whatever, like, I don't know. Like, that's going to piss a lot of people off.
I think people would do it if it's for a big. I think people would accept it if it's for a big.
So that's different.
So that's what I was going to ask.
But for picks, no.
If they're trading, if they trade him for picks, that's unconscionable.
Okay.
To me. But they might.
Yeah.
But if they made a trade for a roster fit, that is what they need, right? Another big?
I would say another big. And the small, they found something with the small ball. And I think it works with what they're doing and the way they want to play, how they want to create chaos. Like, they found something there, but you need big men going to the postseason, right? We were just giving Kato his flowers. He can be a starter, but behind him, it's very suspect.
And then Evan Mobley will have 25 rebounds whatever. Yeah.
So if you're going to make a move, it would probably be people would want a big man. But like right now, and again, we don't really know because we haven't seen it with this ownership group. Like right now, you kind of give them the benefit of the doubt that the moves made in the offseason were because of the second apron, and they kind of were very open about that. But if they trade him out and just kind of get picks and duck under the luxury tax,
it'd be terrible.
Then you can talk about it differently.
Yeah. So, look, to me, Simons for a big, maybe it balances your roster out better. Maybe Tatum's coming back, so that makes even a little bit more sense. Like, I could get behind that. Simons for picks is just that.
It's like
not
the old Red Sox adage. It's like, oh, the in-house trade deadline, or whatever they used to say.
Yeah, Chris
Tatum's
Sale's
your
back.
Big coming back.
Chris Sale's back. Well, it also depends on how Simons is playing. Like, I like Simons. I might even like the idea of Simons more than even what we've seen night in and night out. So if he's kind of struggling, I think people will excuse it and be like, oh, we trust Brad. But if he's like having a lot of good games and then they just flip him, it's going to really irritate people.
What? Because I don't want to go too far with the Celtics and how they're playing. They are playing better. They're still the 8 seed in the East. But to me, how they played over these last five does cement our offseason expectations. They should be a top 6 seed in the East.
Win 40-something games.
You shouldn't be in the play-in games. You definitely shouldn't be in the lottery. Talking about tanking, even though they started poorly, I never got on board with that. But they should be a top 6 seed in the East. Is that a fair expectation? What are your expectations now that they've kind of leveled out through 22 games?
My expectations really haven't changed. A team a little bit over 500, and that's what they've been. And right now, if you look at it, like, they win those Brooklyn and Utah games, two very winnable games, they could be looking at the 3rd seed in the Eastern Conference.
Right.
And
it's still
at the
very
quarter
close,
pole of the season, anybody would have signed up for that. Anybody. Mm-hmm. Like, they could be ahead of Cleveland. Who would have thought that coming to the year? Ahead of Orlando. Like, they are right there. And there were kind of glimpses of it earlier in the year. Like, even that Knicks game, the second game of the year. I know people don't like necessarily like to count quarters or anything, but like they outscored them in 3 of the 4 quarters. It was that really bad second quarter was a huge run that did them in, and they fought back and made that pretty close in the 4th quarter until New York pulled away. So there were signs about this team early on, and it was kind of this growing pains. Like, what does Joe have on this roster? What do these guys have in their new roles? And now as they start to figure that out, you're starting to see things click a little bit. So I'm with you guys. Like, this looks like a team that has the making, they have the ethos, they have the talent, and they have like the mindset to overachieve in expectations.
All right, it's pure hoops, not just pure Celtics. So the NBA record for most wins in a regular season is 73 by the Golden State Warriors back in 2016. The Oklahoma City Thunder are currently 21-1. How many wins do they finish with?
I think they're going to go over 70. Like,
do. They're 21-1. I think they win 75. I think they break the record.
And okay,
they did a lot of this without Jalen Williams.
That's what I'm saying.
He was an All-NBA player last
year. One of the great Jalens that we
just came
earlier.
Back. Top Jalen for sure.
Top Jalen.
They started 8-0. They lost to Portland. They've won 13 in a row since. They're 21-1.
Yeah.
That's how you defend the title.
They're going to break the record. Yeah,
like, look at opening night. They went to double overtime. Yep. And then they had another overtime.
First two games were both double overtimes. Yeah, Houston and Indiana.
It is just wild. Like, that team is just so insanely talented. And again, they're doing without an all-NBA player.
They haven't even been fully healthy.
But, like, they haven't been fully healthy.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is doing the same stuff that he's done last year. He's like every night when we do the best NBA performer of the night, he's in there.
I was kind of shocked to know they only have 7. They're 7-0 against teams over 500, though. So maybe that could be kind of like earlier in the year, like, you know, dropping teams early. Because the West is very talented. But, like, man, it's hard to pick against that team right now. Like, they're so good.
OKC or the Field, who would you take to win the championship?
Right now it's OKC. I mean, we're talking about the East.
The beginning of the year, I was Field. So I thought it was more wide open. But then seeing the Eastern Conference the way that it is, like, I like Detroit. Detroit's nice, but.
Right, am I picking that to beat Oklahoma City?
No, I gotta take the Thunder.
I'd pick a gentleman's sweep is what I would pick.
And like in the West, like really, who's good enough to beat?
I mean, the combination of Luka and Austin Reeves is lighting the league on
speaking
fire.
Speaking of all NBA, Reeves
for sure is right now.
I'm excited to see that team on Friday night.
Yeah, like,
that's gonna be a lot of fun to see that. I mean, it's a great test for the Celtics, like slowing down a guy like Luka. Like, because I bet you Jordan Walsh might get that assignment. Like, he's kind of taken over that role where Jaylen Brown's had it the last couple of years, where Jordan Walsh is now guarding the best players, and he's done a heck of a job. He did a great job last night. James Harden, I mean, you look at that game, he had like 40 points, but if you watch just how frustrated he made James Harden, I would actually brag. I went into the locker room after and asked James Harden about it, and he's like, I don't know. He was just like so frustrated.
Did not want to talk about it at all,
but Tyronn Lue gave him like a lot of credit for it, and like Jordan Walsh is really making a name for himself in the league. He's getting on scouting reports, and it's just crazy to think that guy was out of the rotation a month ago, and now he's in your starting lineup, and truly developing into a legitimate NBA player.
Real quick, the Tatum video that was making the rounds, the one-on-one video, your thoughts on how he looks and if that means anything for his timeline.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to judge the timeline because, like, only he knows. Only he has that timeline circled. Like, they have it. They've kept that very close to the vest. But I will say, like, we have gotten a glimpse of him at practices, and it's been a lot of just, like, off-the-dribble shooting stuff. And just from those brief viewings, like, he doesn't look like he has any limitations.
No.
It doesn't look it at all. And we kind of talked about it once he got hurt. Like, there's just no data for a 27-year-old tearing his Achilles, like this kind of injury, and getting the surgery right away, which we heard was such like a positive thing in the recovery and by one of the best Achilles surgeons in the world. Like, it seems like everything was just kind of falling in line. And it does seem like, again, like I don't know. Like, I don't know what his timeline is. I don't know what he's planning to be. But it just looks like from seeing him, there are no limitations. But I will say, too, and we've talked about this as well, it's kind of unfair to expect him to come back and be an All-NBA player.
True. Right?
Like, I think that's something
that's why that a lot of guys didn't even try it.
People are looking at the Celtics team. They're like, oh, like, hey, like, they're right in the thick of things in the East. Wait until they get Jason Tatum back. Yeah, like, yeah, that would be great. And,
right.
But that's independent.
If he's playing 16 minutes.
The most important thing is just getting him on the floor and, like, letting him relearn his body, letting him trust his body again. Because that mental hurdle is just going to be so hard to get over. So I just think it might be a little bit overzealous to look at it and be like, oh, this team's going to have Jason Tatum. Look out, the East is wide open, because he's not going to come back and be an All-NBA player. That's just an unfair expectation.
617-779-7937. You can talk Celtics here with Jones and Keith. That is Pure Hoops with Terp, Justin Turpin, WEEI.com, WEEI. You can follow him there at Justin M. Turpin for all of his Celtics coverage, press conferences, practice footage, game breakdowns, etc. Terp, as always, we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Billy Lanny's got all the latest in trending, more on the Celtics, and how much credit Missoula deserves for this turnaround.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose.
So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll get to it next.
I would disagree with Jaylen Brown. It's not just one game. And I understand the answer there.
He's technically being asked, Jones, it is one game.
He's being asked specifically about Mikal Bridges and the Knicks when they were making their comeback in the fourth quarter, and it's nice to silence them. It's not one game, though. Celtics have been playing well now for a longer stretch. It's four out of their last five, and those four wins are against four of the top six teams in the East. So, look, I don't want to throw a parade for the Celtics playing better and a couple of bench guys contributing, and Jordan Walsh and Hugo Gonzalez and even Minot. Like, I think those are nice, maybe useful pieces for the next era of the Celtics. I'm less concerned about that. I want this team to be a top six team in the East. I think that was a very, very reasonable expectation. If Tatum comes back February, March, and he's not the all-NBA Tatum, I'd agree with Terp on this. But if he comes back and you add him to that, you might be able to aim even higher. But being in the play-in game to me is beneath them. Being in the lottery is beneath them. I never got on board with the tanking. Like, the way they're playing now is kind of what I expected them to be.
Yeah, it kind of has leveled out to that point because we had similar expectations going into the year. Like, I thought the sixth seed was attainable. Last year, Detroit was the sixth seed, and they had 44 wins. So you're like, can they get 44 wins? And even the seventh seed, the first team sort of out that had to play in the play-in, was 500. So it was Orlando. They were 41-41. So you had a little wiggle room. Like, so could the Celtics get 42 wins? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. For sure. I think they should.
Without Tatum playing a game, they should get that number. 100%. Never mind if you add Tatum to the team.
Yeah, I wasn't even factoring Tatum in. Now, if you, right before the season started, you saw some of those videos of him running or him dunking or whatever, and you're like, yeah, like maybe you'll even get him. But that was sort of a bonus. And so you knew going in, you're not probably not going to have him. And obviously they wanted to get under the second apron, so they moved on from a lot of other players. And so you were left with a pretty undermanned roster. And so Jaylen Brown's going to have to play well. But then also, like, Derek White is going to have to be the number two guy. Peyton Pritchard's now starting. He was the sixth man. Now he's starting. They were very thin with up front, right? Like, I like Kata maybe a little bit more than you, but we can all recognize after him, you're just, like, throwing darts or you're just going small. Like, you can't even bring in another big guy.
No, and Terp just said it. When he was out for the Cleveland game.
Yeah, you're like, egads.
It's Luca Garza, who's the strangest runner on planet Earth.
He runs oddly.
And then Xavier Tillman, who's somehow like 26, but looks like he's 50. Yeah. So, yeah, they don't have size on this roster. And, no, last night, Twitch chat is saying I hate Jordan Walsh. I'm not a big fan
of... It does sound like you hate Jordan Walsh.
I'm not a big fan of guys with like zero offensive game, and I understand he's young and he could grow into it. Like, out of Minot and Walsh and Gonzalez,
could he be?
Minot to me has like the most offensive game out of those three, so I like him the best.
Could Walsh be a Tony Allen type?
Maybe.
Tony Allen was nice. I mean,
he cannot. Yeah. He's not that good. Right. I'm sorry. But could he be like a defense first player with some offense? Maybe.
Now, Jordan Walsh is one of those odd players where when you watched him play in college, you're like, I don't think he's very good. That was in college, and then he gets drafted, and you're like, all right, let's see how he does. But, no, he's fit in, and, like, you need sort of, like, a do-it-all type of player, sort of like a, even if you want to call him, like, a junk-type player, like, that's fine.
Oh, what he was getting last night was junk, but there's value in that.
No, I mean, there
is. Getting on the offensive glass and those stick-backs. Look, last night I saw it a little bit with Gonzalez and a little bit with Walsh. I've liked Minot most of the year. So I saw it a little bit. I just wouldn't want to go too far with any of them.
But Walsh is also tough, too, because like everybody is already playing up a spot. This is sort of Terp's point. It's like, if you lose anybody, like any of your top guys, now everyone's essentially playing up two spots, right? Because like even Brown is like a little out of that. He seems to be pretty comfortable right now with what they're asking him to do. But I still feel like Derek White and Peyton Pritchard go back and forth between being like up to the challenge and like, oh, we're asking you to do too much. So, like, if Jordan Walsh was in a starting lineup, let's say, hypothetically, with Tatum and Brown and Derek White, and let's say even, like, a better big, you'd be like, okay, he could fit in, take charges,
sure,
just junk it up. Like, we've seen good teams have players like that in their lineups. But when he's looking around at Kata and Peyton Pritchard, you're like, all right, like, now it might be a tough go. But I guess silver lining is maybe you are figuring out which guys you can keep going forward, which guys can be the eighth man on a good team or whatever else.
And that to me is what they all those guys are, right? Kata's probably better as your first big off the bench. Maybe he could start. Agree to disagree on that.
Yep.
All those other guys, Minot, Walsh, Gonzalez, those guys are bench players, I think.
But looking at the Eastern Conference, I still feel like even though it was a slow start, even though you're still shaking your head at the Brooklyn loss and the Utah loss, you're like, they can have one of the six best records in the East.
This is what I think. We're getting texts right now. For example, this one, 617-779-7937. Top six is all caps, Keith. So I take this as yelling at me.
Yeah.
Top six, reasonable expectations? ?
Yeah.
They lost four of their top six players.
All right, let me stop you right there. Do you know what the gap was? This is not even rhetorical. I have the answer. So you're saying from where the Celtics were last year to the seven seed, do you know what the gap was? How many games Orlando was behind Boston?
Oh, 20
games. So, yeah, they lost a few players. They lost 20 games
with
the players?
They also, like, the Tatum injury was unfortunate. The other ones were all by choice. Like, they didn't have to trade any of those guys.
And by the way,
so if you're mad at that, get mad at the new owner.
Do you know what the record was?
Porzingis didn't even play anyway.
Well, true.
Who?
Porzingis didn't even play last year anyway.
That's what I was going to say.
Played a little bit and then took a nap.
Barely had Porzingis. They get real sleepy and whatever's going on with him. Do you know what their record would be this year if they had Al Horford back? The exact same.
Yeah, probably.
If not, maybe worse.
Probably.
Like, Al Horford's, he's done. So he's cashed.
Also, yeah, I think top six is a reasonable expectation because I still don't think the rest of the East is that great.
No, you have an all-NBA player, you have an Olympic player, and you have the sixth man of the year.
Yeah.
And a coach that we'll criticize Mazzulla here and there. He's still one of the better coaches in the league. So if you're looking for any kind of like tiebreaker.
The Pistons are one. I want to get to Mazzulla in a second. But the Pistons are one. You beat them. The Knicks are four. you beat them.
Yep.
Now, you've also lost games to each of these teams in there. Orlando, you've beaten a couple of times. Mm-hmm. They're the 5 seed. Cleveland, I think you're 2-0 against off the top of my head. They're 6. So you can play with all those teams. Yeah, I think it's fair to say, and I know what they lost, it's fair to say they should be a top 6 team. I think the way they're playing over the last week plus, whatever it is, winning 4 out of the last 5 against all these top teams in the East,
yeah,
this is just proof that that was a fair expectation, and now they're finally reaching what I thought they could do this year.
But also, like, so right now they're the 8th seed, right? And so you're like, oh, it's crazy to say they're the 6th. Teams in front of them include the Atlanta Hawks, the Miami Heat, and the Toronto Raptors.
Oh, the Raptors.
So you're like, oh, they're for sure going to be better at the end of the year? No.
I mean, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I'd like to get a better look at Toronto, right? Like, the Celtics haven't played
Maybe
Toronto
you can go to
this
that
year, I don't think. Oh, that's, yeah, it's coming up in a couple.
What is it, Brandon Ingram and my guy Scotty Barnes?
I think so.
Yeah.
So I'd like to get a look at them before I just like write them off. But do I believe in them as the second best team in the East in a vacuum? I don't.
Right.
But I think, and maybe this is too simplistic, Keith. We like the gray. We like to dabble in nuance. We don't just want to make it black and white. But
I think nuance.
I think with Missoula, it's pretty black and white. If they are winning games and they're a top 6 seed in the East, I think that validates Missoula. If they're playing like crap and in the lottery like they were earlier this year, and they were hucking up a million threes, which, in fairness, Turp pointed this out last week. He's right. They went from most attempts in the league down to second. They're now third, and they look like they're going to keep dropping at the rate they're at. I think it's not just paint by numbers, launch a bunch of threes.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think last night is a good example of he started with Walsh. It wasn't working, although he went back to Walsh later in the game, which he also deserves credit for. He went to Minot and Shireman. He was kind of searching to figure out what it was. And he finally got to Gonzalez, and he found something. And I do think that's coaching. So it's probably overly simplistic to say 12-9, Missoula good.
Yeah.
7-9, Missoula bad.
No, that's right.
Probably overly simplistic to do, but that's how we're going to measure it. And I think this turnaround, he's been a factor in that.
Well, especially in the NBA, if you have a lot of talent, the coach just isn't going to get a lot of credit. Right. And so for all of Missoula's time here, he's had a ton of talent. In fact, more talent than almost every other team in the league, if not every other team in the league. This year, he doesn't. So much like we're going to give more credit to Jaylen Brown, and nationally, he's going to be looked at differently as being the number one. Same thing with Joe Missoula. Like, if you have to start Jordan Walsh, again, not to pile on him, you've done enough of that. But like, if you have to start some of these guys,
that's my job.
If you have to play Luka Garza big minutes, or if you're like Hugo Gonzalez, like, oh, we're going to notice that. It's like when Eric Spoelstra finally, after LeBron and all those guys left, and he was still knocking on the door of the finals, you're like, oh, wait a minute. Like, that guy's obviously doing something right. And then you get a lot of credit.
You've made this analogy before. And I don't think he's Spoelstra.
No.
But we also thought Spoelstra was a punchline at one point 100%. In time and just a product of the talent in Miami.
Yeah.
And so this is a chance for Missoula to prove himself.
Most of those guys, and that's sort of the knock with that sport, right? I mean, how many guys have won a title and then just gotten fired the next year? Or how many guys were even coach of the year and then just got fired the next year?
Look at the guys who've coached LeBron almost his entire career.
Just gets rid of all of them.
Yeah, it's pretty much
just finger point at all those guys.
Yeah.
No, but even like Malone in Denver, he won it with Jokic, and then they're like, oh, we're done. We don't need you. So like the players are going to get all the credit. But in a year like this where look at the different lineups that he's had to throw out there, just the different, not just starting lineups, but like just different five-man combinations that Missoula's used this year compared to last year, he's had to do a whole lot more. You know, 45 wins, let's say, that might even be high, but 45 wins with this team versus 60, whatever it was with last year's team, this is way more impressive for the coach.
100%. Last year, most people could have coached that team. It was a highly talented team with a bunch of all-stars and, you know, players representing their country at the national level. Like, yeah, that last year and the year prior, those are not hard coaching jobs. They're not, given the talent that you have. This is a tougher job, and Missoula seems like he's starting to figure it out this year. Mm-hmm. They were searching early in the year, but I think it's finally started to level out. 617-779-7937. We got your feedback here on Jones and Keefe. We can get back to some Patriots thoughts coming up here. The big bad Patriots getting a lot of blowback from the city of New York about how mean they were to Jackson Dart. We can get to that with your phone call.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer.
When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's next?
They were comfortable laying dirty hits on the New York Giants last night. The entire first half of that game, the Patriots were comfortable laying dirty hits on them. I don't care what anybody says. The only reason why this is a discussion is because that was an over-the-top hit on a player he did not have to hit like that. 99 times out of 100, that's a two-handed shove. That is not a leave your feet and try and destroy the quarterback. That's bull.
It's a lot of crying going on in New York. Really is. I don't know. I'm pretty surprised. It's like the softest thing in the world to get upset about clean hits in football. It's one thing if you want to have a big tirade about, you know, really dirty, dirty hits. Like Vontaze Burfict was a classic example for Cincinnati that just like every other game, you're like, oh boy. Or like suspendable hits, right. Like 15 yards in the moment, even suspended.
Who's the guy now? Al Shire or whatever his name is on Houston?
That's like a headhunter. He's taking out a few guys. That's different. Like, I get that. This is the softest thing in the world when you're like, he should have pushed him out of bounds. He didn't need to, like, physically tackle him out of bounds.
Well, I also,
like, he hit him too hard.
Yeah, that's our guy C-Mac on WFAN.
Yep.
So he's Knights on FAN. I guess our other guy, Keith McPherson, out. But so C-Mac is representative of a larger discussion going on in New York. But what I like about that is he's like, well, this wouldn't even be a discussion. It's not.
You're making it one.
Yeah, I mean, it's,
you guys are crying about a legal hit.
And my interpretation of what's actually going on is all the Giants fans down there are, they probably deep down want to lash out at Jackson Dart for playing like such a moron.
Yeah, but they're not for some reason.
That's their hope and their future and what they are believing to be a franchise quarterback. And I think when he's not running around like a chicken with his head cut off, he looks like he can play. So
he's fun to watch, but part of it is because he's a maniac.
Right. They might have something there. I'm not saying they don't.
Yeah.
But they all want to believe in the future and that he can be the next franchise quarterback in New York. And so instead of lashing out at their crown jewel athlete, they are lashing out at the other team. But it's really Jackson Dart who's playing like a clown.
Yeah, that could be. Because it feels like there's going to be complaints no matter what when it comes to the NFL. Because for so long, it's like, oh, they don't even let him hit anymore. Like, all this is two-hand touch football. And then to hear that be like, was what they want is so bizarre. Because, like, you can't hit the quarterback anymore. I mean, the Giants are a proud franchise that once had Lawrence Taylor on their team.
Mm-hmm.
Watch the Lawrence Taylor highlight tape. Now, it's a different game, different league, but just they celebrate Lawrence Taylor. I think he killed Joe Theismann on the field once. He, like, destroyed guys. And so now you're like, I'll admit, this is a perfectly legal hit. Didn't deserve a flag, but it's BS that Christian Ellis smashed Jackson Dart going out of bounds. It's such a weird thing to get upset about.
Well, and I think
draw attention to.
We talked about this yesterday, but I think their whole team, it's been like, I'd have to imagine such a large discussion in New York because he was concussed and he was in the concussion protocol and he took a while to come back and he missed a few games and this was his first game back. But I think you could tell it was in his head the way he was running around behind the line of scrimmage. He took off very few times. That was one of the few.
Well, he should be.
Yeah, well, okay, I agree. It's in the whole team's head too. Mm-hmm. Like the way they reacted to Landry hitting him early in the game when he slid under the hit. Like, the way they lost their minds over that. They were ready to fight Landry.
Yeah.
Never mind Christian Ellis for his hit on the sideline.
Oh, no.
It was so in all of their heads because it's been such a large discussion there, and the fact that Jackson Dart still doesn't get it. Gruden tried to warn him when he came into the league.
Yeah, he did.
He's played like a moron all year long. He comes back from the concussion protocol, and one of the first things he does is get blown up on the sideline, head over heels depleted on the sideline.
I know.
So, I mean
we should really be celebrating
He's never going to get it. Well, we were.
We are. But I'm saying, like, everybody should be celebrating this because the fear is...
Most people across the country are. I think just in New York, they're crying about it.
All right, well, they should also celebrate it because we want football still to be football as close as it can be, and it's less and less than it is, right? Like I was mentioned, 80s, 90s, even early 2000s. Even, like, when Tom Brady was in the league early on, you could hit the quarterback a lot worse. Hell, I mean, the whole greatest show on turf and the Colts got sad because how physical the Patriots defenses were. They started to change the rules on them. Like, call me crazy, but when it was kind of daring to go across the middle as a receiver or a tight end, I like that better. I like that because you're like, the safety is going to come up and smoke you. Now, there's a difference between just like a really hard hit by, you know, Steve Atwater versus we've got multiple texters being like, Brandon Merriweather was hard to defend as a Patriot fan because
Ninkovich brought him up this morning. That was one of the when he was asked about dirty players. That was one he brought up. Yeah,
but so I'm not saying like let every hit go and like oh just toughen up Buttercup. But when it's a fully legal play, you have to be happy that that is still in the game. Otherwise, we are going to get closer and closer to you can't even touch the quarterback.
Text line says, did you guys see what Eli Manning said about fart? I'm assuming that means dart.
Fart?
On the Manning cast.
Oh, that's like a Favre-Dart combo.
Well, it might have been a typo. I mean, I'm not sure.
Let me stop you right there. No.
I didn't either.
I didn't see anything Eli Manning said on the Manning cast.
Did either you guys catch that? Was Eli ripping him?
Peyton was.
Oh.
But I didn't see Eli.
Okay, interesting. I'm not a Manning cast guy. I'm not an alt cast guy.
Although you know who they had on.
All due respect to Razor and everybody else over at Nessun, but I'm not an alt cast.
No, give me regular cast.
Yeah, regular cast.
I will watch the regular cast
for sure.
I saw this on Twitter on the Manning cast. Did you see who one of their guests was? Danny DeVito.
Ooh,
yeah.
So him versus Eli.
Danny DeVito.
Eli's trying to take his job. I mean, he's stealing his whole look, and he's trying to take his job with the Jersey Mikes. Yeah.
Oh, that
white beard on DeVito really threw me off.
I didn't see any of this.
He said he had never seen that Young Wei Koo kick in the ground before. Even he had never seen it before.
DeVito?
Yeah.
Wow.
He'd never seen it.
Well, that's good insight.
That's good news.
I love Danny DeVito.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't realize he was breaking down the game. Yeah. Refresh my memory, Keith.
Uh-huh.
We were talking about this game the other day in Denver when Brady just got the snot knocked out of him in the AFC title game, I think it was 2015.
Mm.
So whatever, January 2016.
Mm-hmm.
He got destroyed in that game. I mean, I'm sure some people were crying about it, but I don't remember like the whole city crying about Denver just teeing off on Brady in that game.
Well, Brady would often cry for 15 yards, but that's more gamesmanship, and that's that. But it's like dirty hit, get these guys out of the league.
I
never did.
I don't really remember it. Now, it did come up from time to time with Bernard Pollard. I mean, that's another name that Ninkovich brought up. So, like, did people want Bernard Pollard thrown out of the league when he took out Brady? Maybe. I do remember some of that.
But that, to me...
Bernard Pollard knocking Stephen Ridley in the next week. I remember some of that with
him. Bernard Pollard took a bunch of guys out. Didn't he take Welker out, too? Like, he took a bunch of different guys out. But those are also... And the players themselves will tell you, I'd rather you hit me in the head than take out my knee.
Yep.
Hit me in the head, I pass a fake concussion test, I'm back out, take my knee out, I'm out 10 months. So that, to me, is, like, even more dirty. And that's not at all what Ellis did. On any of his hits.
No.
None of those were like knee shot. That's way cheaper. And that's like, I don't like that. They've even made that a flag now. If you do that same hit to Tom Brady now that cost him the 08 season, 15 yards, not that that's any great trade-off, but like then it wasn't a penalty.
Yeah,
now it is.
It's penalized now. Yeah, I get what you're saying. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe. We'll get into their goals down the stretch. Mike Vrabel verbalized a pretty high-level goal yesterday, so we'll get into that, along with appreciating where the Patriots are at on the bye week compared to a few seasons ago. We'll do that coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.